T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Joining us now, Alfonso McGriff. The Book of Abe is something he wrote. My Thoughts About Life and Living, which I'm reading, and it's fascinating. I like your mind, Alfonso, and I thank you for joining us once again.
Hello, thanks for having me once again.
So what did I tell you we were going to talk about? I know I texted you something.
Institutional
Do you remember?
You mentioned institutional racism.
I did. Are you for it or against it? No, that's not the question. The question is, does it exist?
The question is, does it exist? I would say it definitely exists, but the institutions are headed by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, from what I understand, based on my own limited understanding, Stokely Carmichael and Charles Hamilton coined the term institutional racism in 1967 in a book they wrote called Black Power, The Politics of Liberation. And they talked about what they saw institutional racism as. And, you know, they talked about it being a form of racism that's like embedded as normal practice, you know, within a society or organization. So racial discrimination, criminal justice, employment, housing, healthcare, political power, education, and other things. It becomes just instilled in all of these different areas.
Yes.
And it basically means these areas are being set up to mishandle Black people and or others.
For some reason, conservatives hate to admit that institutional racism exists. I think somehow it makes them defensive, but in my mind, it's obvious that there's institutional racism, and that urban areas in particular, which is what I find ironic, that's where it lives, in the areas controlled by Democrats. And in this problem with policing, that's an example of institutional racism, where you have a union that has undue power, and you can't fire bad cops, and the bad cops remain, and they become the dominant force in the culture in terms of defining what behavior will be like. And when we look at that video of George Floyd, and we see those police officers inexplicably standing there, unwilling to step forward and stop a murder from happening a few inches away from their eyes, and they do nothing, the only way to explain it that I can see is that they feel that the pressures on them to not act are more compelling than doing their obligation as a professional and as a human being. And that's what institutional racism is right there. How do you feel about that?
Well, when people talk about the apple not falling far from the tree, you know, we always have to deal with the foundation and root of things in order to understand the essence of what we're talking about. So, for me, the foundation of and root of institutional racism is the Constitution of the United States of America, which was what I call the first official and most significant affirmative action document in the history of the country, and the very foundation for institutional racism. Because for the first 125 years or so, the only people who could benefit from the Constitution, which is the framework of the government of the United States, were white men, until the and then we had the first 10 amendments, or the Bill of Rights, being ratified in 1791. So the Constitution was ratified in 1778. And in 1791, we had the Bill of Rights. And then in 1865, there was the 13th Amendment that allegedly abolished the enslavement of African people. And everybody understands that that didn't happen in real life in 1865 because of institutional racism and the institution that was in place at that time. So when you look at the very foundation of the historical origin of this country, and we're talking about the Constitution being the essence of institutional racism, well, naturally, things that fall under that, that follow the Constitution, are going to be representative of that. And it's hard now, because it's so embedded into this society, supported by the Constitution for at least 100 years, that is, I can't see how anyone would deny that it exists.
Hold on one second, Alfonso. You've gotten to the good part, and I want to give you a counter argument and see what you have to say to that. All right, our guest is Alfonso McGriff. He's a businessman from Hartford. He is an author as well. The Book of Abe, My Thoughts About Life and Living. And I like what you just said, not because I don't know what exactly is behind it, because I'm not sure how much it adds to the conversation. But it's interesting, nevertheless, that the Constitution was built around slavery, because slavery existed first, just as it was built around women being second-class citizens, because women were already second-class citizens. But it was built with a mission of liberty, with the underpinning of human liberty being a basic right, with the expectation, I think, was built with that imperative, and that those things would evolve as it became possible, but that they would not have been able to create a society that was liberty-based had they not accepted those things, because they couldn't cure all those things in one shot at that particular moment. What are your thoughts on that?
I do understand what you're saying, but when I look at it, it's very difficult for me to look at a constitution that was written as the framework for the entire country. At that time, I think it was 13 states. But
yes,
for the framework of the country, when only white men could benefit, like, they were aware that there were other people here. There were women here, black folks here, there were Asians here, there were indigenous people called Indians here. So if it was genuinely written for the benefit of the freedom for people in this country, then that would have been represented in the mindset of the people who set up the Constitution. But
which it was, because they said that all men are created equal. So they created the contradiction that made it possible for us to one day give women the right to vote and equality in terms of other freedoms like owning property, and we did the same thing for black Americans. Does that happen? Let me just make this one point, then you respond. These guys were passionate about creating a liberty-based society, one based on that idea of all men created equal. That was their mission. It was a gift to the world that they wanted to give, and they felt like they had a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-millennia opportunity, maybe, to change the notion of how government works. And they could sit there and they could look at it and they say, if we do this, and we say we're not going to do it unless we make women equal and blacks equal, then they knew it wasn't going to work. So they could just give up on the project, and we'd go back to having the same kind of government the rest of the world had always had. Why was that not a reasonable way to put the seeds of liberty into the ground for everybody, which, by the way, we haven't achieved yet. And we will continually fail as we march towards, as Barack Obama used to put it, the arc of what? What was he called? The Arc of Liberty? Takes a long, you know, that was his point was we know we're moving, always building towards a freer and healthier place. That it's about that, finding the perfection of the concept. Go ahead.
I remember at one point during Martin Luther King's journey, he was being told that, you know, he was kind of expecting too much too fast. And when June 21st, 1778, when the Constitution became official, and if I go by what you're telling me, the enslavement of African people continued to 1865 and beyond. If what you're saying is true, then I just don't believe that any human being in their right mind would accept somebody telling them, we really are trying to build this country for everybody while they're cracking whips over our backs and raping and sodomizing and doing all manner of foul things to African people. But we're supposed to believe that, well, you know, I mean, in time, because the Constitution is genuinely written for the freedom of all people. That is just so unreasonable to think anybody would accept as a reality.
Well, I understand what you're saying out of context. In the context of the times, it was a worldwide thing, essentially, slavery, and it was something that the whole world had to shake, and it didn't happen overnight. Worldwide, either it took
time. No, but
we're
talking about America, right?
And America sat in those times, and what they did with the Constitution was revolutionary in those times. But I love the conversation, and thank you for having it. We're out of time, I'm afraid. Alfonso McGriff, we'll do it again next week if you're willing. The Book of Abe is something he wrote, and I'm reading. My thoughts about life and living, and interesting talk with you always. Thank you, sir.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.